On the second Sunday of Easter, as we move into the Easter season, we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. And the letter of Peter today tells us about the essence of God's mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope, kept in heaven for all those who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith. The essence of the mercy of God is the offer of new life. And here we have a great description of the logic of the apostolic way of thinking. It's a way of thinking informed very much by apocalyptic literature. The power of God working from heaven is actively guiding and ensuring the renewal of creation in history. We are receiving a new birth into a living hope, not merely some hope that is far off in some distant future, but a hope that is a living and active process of renewal. This process of renewal is carried out by those who have received new birth through the power of Jesus and who are called to share in Jesus' mission of transformation. Throughout this Easter season, the usual Old Testament readings are replaced by readings from the book of Acts of Apostles. Our attention is focused on salvation history as it is taking place in the present moment through the activity of the church. Notice carefully that we are not reading from the book of Acts of the Apostles. In Greek, the title is the book of Acts of Apostles, the book that gives the model for how all apostles act, how all those called and sent in mission must act. In the gospel today, Jesus breathes the new life of the Spirit over the disciples and makes them into a missionary community who have the power to bring the mercy of God to the world. And that is the community of which we now are a part. Acts starts off with a model of the two essential elements of missionary spiritual life. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and the communal life. Teaching and community. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting in the temple area. For what? To hear the teaching of the gospel. Somebody was there every day, reading and teaching. Imagine how things could change if we really started taking time to listen to the teaching of Scripture every single day. And they devoted themselves to life together in community in the forms of Eucharist, prayer, and mutual support, renewing the covenant, interceding for each other in prayer, sharing resources. These are the practices of communal life that strengthen and empower the mission. The first letter of Peter, which we read throughout this Easter season, is also a letter about mission. This letter especially addresses the challenges that are faced in the mission of the gospel. You may have to suffer through various trials so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. There are many sources of suffering that come about in mission. Outright persecution in some cases. Rejection of the Christian message, sometimes by members of our own family. Frustration of the mission through circumstances of life. Risks that are taken to bring the message of the gospel to those in dangerous situations. Today we are living through a time when our faith is being tested by a health crisis that is affecting all of humanity. And some are risking their own health as they bring assurance of God's love to those who are sick. The letter of Peter says that a particular challenge of suffering is not having visible sources of encouragement that we are used to. Peter recalls the words of Jesus to the disciples in the Gospel of John. You have come to believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed. So Peter assures suffering Christians that they are blessed. although you have not seen the Lord, you love him, and you know that he is with you. The test of faith comes when the usual visible structures that we are accustomed to are not there. In these moments, we trust the power of the Holy Spirit. In the third chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus tells Nicodemus that the Spirit is like the wind. You cannot see the work of the Spirit. He says the wind blows where it wills. You can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know, you cannot see where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Jesus tells the disciples that after the resurrection, they will be united by the Spirit in a way that is even more powerful than his presence with them. And because of this, we today can overcome the test of social distancing. It is true that our normal practice of communal life is interrupted, because authentic community is always face-to-face. And we have relied on technology to help us overcome the limits of social distancing. But, even if technology did not exist, we could still overcome social distancing in the Holy Spirit. For almost 2 years, in 1567 to 68, St. Charles Borromeo closed the churches of Milan, Italy, due to a plague. In 1918, churches in many parts of the United States were closed due to the Spanish flu, and there was no technology then, not even radio in those times. Yet people knew that they were united in the Holy Spirit, and they persevered together through times of separation. Our time of social distancing opens up a unique opportunity to devote ourselves to the teaching of the Bible, the Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. The preaching of the Word is not limited by space. The Apostle Paul could not live stream his teaching. He taught by letters that were circulated among the different communities to be read aloud by people to one another. The power of intercessory prayer is not diminished by social distancing. The Spirit continues to unite us in prayer. Jesus said, "If two of you agree on earth about anything for which they pray, it shall be granted to them. For where two or three are united in prayer, there I am in the midst of them." Matthew 18:19-20. The power of the Holy Spirit to consecrate us as the body of Christ, the church, as we care for one another, is not diminished by the fact that we cannot gather together for worship. The Lord will continue to empower us as we share our resources. The Holy Spirit, who first multiplied the loaves and fish in answer to the prayers of Jesus, will continue to bless our generosity. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us a new birth to a living hope, kept in heaven for all those who by the power of God are now safeguarded through faith. So on the second Sunday of Easter, let us affirm our identity as missionary disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, and let us determine to continue our mission, united in the Spirit, to share the gospel of new life with a world desperately in need of a living hope.